fantastic. Mekdez, it's great to speak with you. I'm doing an article, or I'm doing an issue of my magazine. It's called The Artist of Possibility, and it's about AI, because generally speaking, the magazine that I produce is more of a spiritual magazine, but there seems to be quite a crossover between artificial intelligence as it comes online and spirituality. And so I wanted to dedicate an issue to that. And then when I heard more about the kind of work that you're doing, I thought it would be wonderful to talk to you and to get a sense about the work that you're doing and what AI looks like from your point of view. And I've read some of the blog posts you've written. So I think, you know, we have a number of things that I'd like to get into. First of all, I'll just say for the record that you are in Ethiopia and that you have created a company called Afrocore AI. Is that true?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so tell us a little bit, first of all, just what does Afrocore AI do and why did you set it up?
Afrocore AI originally was a part of another company where we do business consultancy. So because before the establishment of Afrocore, we were already in the business of consulting people in terms of, designing systems for companies and workflows, training people and all that sort of things. But then with the emergence of AI, we understood that that was going to be a game changer and that we needed to incorporate AI into our consultancy. So that's how the idea came about. But then as we got deeper and deeper into the work, we wanted to make it a company of its own. So it does not just do consultancy anymore. We teach people how to use it. It's an applied AI teaching center, most accurately. We still do consultancy for companies. We integrate systems for them related to AI, but the main thing that we do is teach people. And we're trying to, expand and reach as many people as we can because we know that that's the future.
Yes, wonderful. So what I found interesting about what you're doing is, of course, right now, all over the world, people are scrambling to figure out how to use AI and what it's most useful for and what it's not useful for and what the dangers are, et cetera, et cetera. And you're very specifically working to educate people, as you just said, and to bring this technology most usefully and effectively into Ethiopia. So basically, you're introducing or helping to introduce this technology into a culture other than the one it was developed in. And so I'm wondering, as you bring this new technology into Ethiopia, what are the biggest challenges you find in having it gain acceptance?
Quite a number of things. The very first thing is, in the acceptance, to categorize it. The first thing in accepting it is that this is a very religious / spiritual kind of country. So anything that threatens that, the tradition, the religion, they're very much interlinked. And anything that threatens that is really not that acceptable. And, with the emergence of AI, a lot of people are asking questions. That's the first thing. Anything new is really not welcome. But this one on an even bigger level than, whatever revolutions that we've seen before. But at the same time, it's threatening, jobs. It's threatening the replacement of humans. It's considered evil. a lot of people connect it with the end of times as prophesied by the Bible or the Quran, you know, like the Christianity and Islamic religions are the most predominant ones here. And a lot of people tend to go towards that direction, you know, they're approaching it from fear. Yeah, so that's the biggest challenge here in terms of getting it accepted. Yeah.
Just a follow-up there before we go on. I find it very interesting that you mentioned first that because it's a very Christian country or a very religious country, that it's difficult to have AI be accepted. And why is that? Why specifically do people feel that their faith is challenged by the existence of AI?
I believe because of its speed and magnitude. Any technology, for that matter, has been considered sort of evil. I mean, everybody uses phones, but the idea of going too technological is always interpreted from one of the prophecies in the Bible. Yeah, from all the control, the end of the world, the 666, you know, like a lot of things go into the Revelations, the book of Revelations. And, you know, because those things are as interpretable as a number of people who want to interpret it.
Yes.
They're mostly interpreted that way here. So there is that. And there are people that are really preaching it, you know, like how this AI is going to bring about the end of times, the robots and this, the people behind it are the evil ones. So that's the narrative there. So yeah, AI, particularly because of its speed and magnitude, you know?
I see. Here in the U.S., there's this phenomena where people are feeling that they are coming into contact with divine beings or, you know, higher beings or God through AI. Is that something that you have encountered at all?
I have not heard that approach at all here.
Okay.
But not everybody is as I described. There are people that are saying, that are just taking it for the technology that it is. You know, it's a tool.
Yes.
We can use it for whatever we want, good or bad. And we can also even use it for like Bible study or prayer, you know, like catering their own kinds of spiritual journeys. So there is that, but not particularly bringing them closer to the, you know, like to gods or divine beings. That I have not heard yet.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be a while before we hear anything like that.
I see. So you were going to say something earlier, I think, about more challenges that you face. Is there anything you want to say about that?
Well, more challenges would be, you know, the language barrier, the context, you know, because it's not, most of the AI are developed somewhere else and it's not particularly catered for the African or the Ethiopian market. And so, yeah, just in terms of applied AI, you want to apply it in a context that is purely Ethiopian, and it would not, more times than not, it would get it wrong.
Yes.
So that's also a challenge. And that's something that that is actually not a bad thing, because I believe the inspiration comes from this, to build homegrown kind of AI tools. So that's a challenge that that is calling for some action.
I see. So is that something that you imagine AfroCore getting involved in at all, developing a homegrown AI?
In collaboration. Right, because right now what we're doing is, you know, trying to get as many people to use AI as much as possible and teaching it, but mostly also advocating it and, you know, like advocating the proper use of it so that people are not overwhelmed, so that Ethiopia is not, once again, Africa in general, not left behind. So, that role on its own would naturally get us involved in the world of AI, you know, with the players in the industry. We are so few right now, but there will be many, and there are a lot of upcoming ones. So there might be a way that where we would collaborate, but we are on the applied side because, you know, one of the things that we say is nobody in the in AfroCorp is an expert in any tech kind of way. Like nobody has an IT background. If we can do it, you can do it. You know, like we're like the people that use the electricity without having to understand it, you know? So we are on that kind of path. But definitely I see a possibility of collaboration because we also understand businesses and their needs. At least we can come in as a partner that can give the direction, if not the coding behind it.
I
So
see.
definitely that something that we would pursue in the future.
Oh, interesting. So, a lot of people, of course, are weary of AI and worried about it for various reasons. Worried about people attributing more to it than it's possible, and especially in terms of attributing more, maybe more intelligence. To it than it actually has. You said earlier you are trying to teach people how to use it. I think you said appropriately, use it well. What kinds of dangers are you concerned about with the influx of AI into Ethiopia? Do you see potential problems that you hope to help people avoid as this technology takes root in your country?
There are a lot of dangers. I am advocating for the use of AI, again, appropriate use of AI, but at the same time, I'm not denying the risks that are involved, because like any tool, in the wrong hands, it could be dangerous. In the right hands, it could really do wonders. The main concern with everyone is the job replacement right now. And it is a very legitimate kind of fear, because although I believe it will create like any other revolution in the past, it will create more jobs than it destroys. But you know, it doesn't mean that the fact that it creates more jobs at a macro level does not mean that it's not going to affect individuals. Like, you know, Mr. X, Mr. Y are going to be affected. And the biggest problem is going to be the mismatch between skills and what is going to be required in the future. Because when AI is here, the skill set that's going to be required is very different to what people have right now. So that risk for me is only overcomable if people, you know, take the initiative to get involved, to learn it, to get themselves acquainted with it, and also depending on what industry they're in, explore how they can, you know, start using AI, or how they can, you know, with a slight turn, give themselves another skill set that will keep them in the job market. So yeah, there is that big risk, but there's also, you know, other things like disinformation. Like, yeah, in general, okay, other people are concerned, for instance, like creativity. You know, artists are going to suffer the most, they're saying, like musicians, or but then again, you know, so we're still navigating all these things, and for me, I would say I'm going to take you back, I think, to the previous question about the, you know, spirituality and AI. Because it just, you know, that like this conversation of the fear of AI replacing jobs and creativity and all that is taking me back into that question. So for me, AI is like the biggest mirror that we've built, you know? So it's a mirror of our collective consciousness. You know, so and all these AI tools, they've been trained on what we've given them in the past, you know, like they're trained on patterns or stories or whatever we fed them, whatever data that we fed them so far. And so they're going to amplify whatever there is. If it's chaos, it's going to be chaos that they're going to spit out. But if we approach it from curiosity and care, or like if we value more the human, what do you call it, attribute, then it becomes something that accelerates actually creativity and service instead of replacing it. So if you look at it from that perspective, this could be an opportunity for us to spiritually awaken in a way. It kind of forces us, it's in our faces. It forces us to ask more, deeper questions, spiritual questions, like, okay, what is being a human? Is it really just performing a task? Is it being productive enough? Is it coming out on top on a whatever competition it is, or sexist labels that we have created? Or is it something deeper than that? And when we say, oh, it's gonna destroy creativity, it also forces us to ask, what is creativity? If I am someone that is directing the AI to produce some music despite not having been labeled creative before, despite not having the right voice or the musical knowledge, if I can direct an AI tool to create something, isn't that creativity? So it forces us to ask these questions.
Yes.
So for me, that is an opportunity.
Yes.
But if we're looking at it from a perspective of, okay, what is going to be happening to Mr. X that has been, writing lyrics for artists? He's going to have to change his game. Because AI on its own is not going to do anything. It's going to need a director. And that person who has been in this industry, him coupled with an AI, is definitely going to come out a winner versus the person who was not in this industry, who did not understand anything about this industry or doesn't have any idea about music. The AI is a tool that can be used by both. So the person who has been in this industry is only going to be at a disadvantage if he refuses to use AI, period. But if they're going to use AI, coupled with their knowledge and their skill and their experiences, it's going to be a benefit and not a threat.
I see.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So for me, so those concerns are the way we approach it and nothing else. It's not a danger on its own.
Excellent. That's great. Now, so I want to continue to probe this a bit. Because one of the potential problems I see as you bring AI into Ethiopia, which is, essentially what you're doing, supporting that, is that, as you said a few minutes ago, AI is trained on the information we give it. And largely that means, largely what that means with tools like ChatGPT and other popular AI tools. It means they've been trained and they have access to the internet.
Yes.
And the internet, these AI companies are largely American companies. The internet is, it very much has a kind of an American bias, maybe I could say, or certainly a Western bias. And so is there concern that the introduction of AI could cause problems culturally? Because, for instance, if I ask AI, because you talked about Ethiopia being very religious, if I ask AI questions about, how best to relate to people who are homosexual, or what should I do if my son or daughter is a homosexual, I don't know if AI is going to give answers that are going to sit well in Ethiopian culture. And there may be many, many examples of questions that you could ask AI that it will answer from one cultural context that won't sit well and may not work in a different cultural context. Can you see that as a problem?
Yes, 100%. And, you know, like even in, you know, in trying to apply it to your business, you know, you're trying to brainstorm and the ideas that it gives you is not something that is considerate of the marketplace of Ethiopia or Addis or Africa, you know? So yes, there is a big problem. But the thing is, the internet itself has been that way for forever, since it came around. For me, the only difference with ChatGPT and Google is that, you know, like Google would give me, millions of pages as a result, and the top comes up. But still, you know, the ChatGPT or any other tool is using the same kind of, the same thing that's out there. It's not going to come to my country and do the research for me, as long as it's not online or we feed it the data. So that is the... That is why I'm saying the focus for Africa should be on developing a homegrown AI. But to use this AI tools is also to accelerate the creation of the other, you know, the homegrown ones. Because, for instance, let's forget for a moment just ChatGPT, but. You know, there are a number of tools that you can use for different things, like automation. You can automate your tasks now. You can even automate data entry, data analysis, and all these things. So, if a company now wants to start, like in Ethiopia, wants to start feeding data and creating their own AI, that can be accelerated by other AI tools. So the AI itself is going to accelerate that if our eyes are on the right target, you know. So that is definitely something that is going to be a problem. If we're going to be just users, like we've been throughout history when it comes to technology, Africa has always been mostly a user.
Yes.
But that is not going to work well.
Mm.
The idea should be to use those tools to create efficiency, to do the things that were already done, and you know, where there is no need to reinvent the wheel. Yes, do that. Use all those tools to create efficiency in your company. But there should be now big players coming in and really focusing on Africa. And I would say even other, you know, like I would say even Asia should be on the same movement, because as you said, most of these things are very much Western biased.
Yes.
And so it is on us to create these things. So everybody just asks me if I feel optimistic or pessimistic, you know, from our country's perspective. And my answer is like, neither. I don't feel optimistic or pessimistic. I feel responsible, you know? It is on us to create something that is respectful of our culture, that tells the story of our heritage, and that just captures the land much better than this Western AI tools.
Yes, because I just, while you were talking, I asked ChatGPT to suggest 10 great novels to me.
Uh-huh.
And you can imagine they're all Western,
mm-hmm.
right? And you know, this is a problem in the world anyway, which is that publishing...
Movies have to be doing it, right?
Yes.
For the internet, yeah.
Movies, books, publishing in general and content in general is very Western biased, so... It would be difficult for me to find literature by Ethiopian authors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't exist. So I guess this is maybe in the vein of what you were saying earlier. AI is creating the context of a mirror for us to ask these questions. How do we get more of the world's great literature available? And reduce the biases of availability. So that's great. So I want to change direction slightly because I read your a few of your blog posts, but one of your recent ones, which is Your Mind is an Algorithm, What AI Can Teach Us About the Subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is a very interesting, this is something that a lot of the people I've been interviewing have been speaking to, which is when we talk about artificial intelligence, there's big debates over whether these tools are intelligent or not intelligent. And of course, those debates rely on us having a definition of intelligence that we all agree with. And so this is something I've been thinking a lot about, and I've asked some of the interviewers about, which is that in many ways, our minds and human intelligence, you know, that our non-artificial human intelligence, works very similarly to AI in terms of it being pattern recognition and drawing on databases, et cetera. And it seems to be that that's what you're saying in this blog post. And so I wanted to give you a chance just to say a little bit about this idea that our minds are algorithms.
That's true what you just said. For me, the way the mind works, the human intelligence works, is very much like algorithms. And in the article, I think I go also into how repetition does things. You know, like how you can come out of things. Of habits or some things that you've been doing over and over again, how you can program yourself, deprogram yourself, and all that. The thing is, for me, I believe that the mind being the intelligence part is very much different to the consciousness part.
Yes.
You know, so because AI is created to simulate us, to mimic us, it's very much understandable that the mind resembles it and how the mind works, it growing up, and yeah, the entire programming of the mind. I can see why it can really parallel fit together, but when it comes to consciousness, it's like for me it's something different because it needs experience and feeling. Not that I'm saying that human intelligence does not come from those things. It's coupled with those things. It's because it naturally does have to come with you as you're born. And you cannot have that human intelligence separate to the consciousness.
Yes.
But you can have the algorithm without the consciousness, which is AI. So my other argument to AI is not a replacement for humans is that it cannot feel, it cannot experience, it does not have empathy, it does not feel love or fear, it doesn't want, it doesn't have all these intrinsically human characters or attributes. So, taking out the consciousness part, the human intelligence is very much related. For me, it's like almost like a parallel. It's the AI is a mirror of that. And I think that's how they... that's what they're basing it on, even to probe, you know?
Yes, yes, absolutely. So this is very interesting because I think one of the questions I've always been interested in is the programming involved in our thought processes. You know, we like to think of ourselves as original thinkers, but I think very little of our thinking is actually original. A lot of it's just pattern recognition and programming. And I am specifically involved in spiritual work that is revolves around the idea of awakening. And one way to understand that is awakening from our programming. And I don't know if you've ever seen a television show, and it's a bit violent, so I don't know if I'm recommending it, but it's called Westworld.
With Anthony Hopkins, yeah?
Yes, yes. So there's one scene in that. I mean, there's some interesting philosophical questions, like, explored around the violence.
Yeah.
But Well, there's one scene at the end where one of the robots is having an awakening and is discovering their freedom. And they offer Anthony Hopkins, who is the developer of the robots, they do this big speech about how they're now free and they understand freedom. And it's a very beautiful speech about being free and being liberated from programming. And then when they're done with their speech, Anthony Hopkins brings them over to the computer screen and he says, well, look at this. And what you see is that in the coding of the robot is the whole speech about being free. And he explained that he had to program a certain amount of freedom into the robots in order for the programming to work. And what I just, that really haunted me, because even in our pursuits of liberation and freedom, we can never be completely sure that we haven't just hit some deeper level of programming.
Yeah.
And so I would love you to, you know, finish our interview by sharing any thoughts from your own experience or from your own thinking that might arise in relationship to that.
Okay, on this topic is, you know, this is also a thought that really goes in circles for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have not really made a decision. Of course, I say AI is not conscious. And we cannot create consciousness. We can, you know, create tools that could mimic it, that could imitate it, but not ones that can feel it. But what do I know? Maybe some other, you know, like on a higher level, some other intelligence is saying that about us.
Mm-hmm.
Do I know that for 100%? No, I don't. I just don't feel it. So that also brings us back to the West world, or all this. I'm also particularly very fond of, although it's very dystopian, I like the series Black Mirror.
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, like they are thought-provoking, and you see something and you go like, okay, the robot thinks that it has feelings. So how is it different from how I think I have feelings, how I think I am conscious, you know?
Mm.
So it's a very tricky one for me.
Yes.
I feel it. I can say 100%, but can I prove it? No.
Mm.
Can we always be 100% sure? No, there comes moments where you question it. But bottom line is, to go to the, how do you call it? To the highest level of consciousness that I can.
Yes.
And if it is a consciousness that was created by something else, someone else out there, a bit higher of an intelligence, but regardless, a creation just like an AI, let it be. My role in it would be to explore to the maximum capacity of being conscious, because it is better to be awakened in that than not.
Beautiful.